You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, welcome. It's a good day. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time. Let me begin by I wanted to start today by telling you how much I appreciate you. I've seen some wonderful things happen in this church family. I've seen some amazing people. I've seen some people who are prayerful. I've seen some people who are generous. I've seen people who trust, and it has been a beautiful thing to see. By the way, if you're visiting with us today, I wanted to introduce you to the body of Christ in Grapevine. We are a group of imperfect people, but we love God, and we love each other. And we are working it out each and every day what it means to be saved, what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. So if you're visiting with us, welcome. It's a good group of people. You know, Paul said it very well. I don't think I have my clicker. I'm going to have to go down and get my clicker. Paul said it very well. He said there in 2 Corinthians, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me." We are weak, but through us, through that weakness, God is strong. And what I love is that typically when you get a bunch of weak people together, usually you think, oh, you're going to have a bunch of weak people, a big weak group. But what I'm finding is that through a bunch of people who are weak, that even makes God even more powerful. So this is who we are at Grapevine this morning. I feel the power of Christ resting here on this church family as well. Because when we commit to something together like we're doing today, it's an amazing thing. It is God's power made perfect through our weakness. And so today, our group shows the power of God to the world. This is what we're doing. So we've been talking a lot about trust over the last several weeks, and we'll conclude next week talking about what it means to trust God in the most, I would say, the most remarkable of circumstances. And you know those moments when you think, I don't need to trust anyone else except myself, because, you know, this is way too big to leave it to some, you know, it seems, I would say, odd to trust in God. You ever had those moments? Not just the ordinary, but the extraordinary moments. We're going to talk about what that looks like whenever trusting seems illogical. So we're talking about that next week. Today, we're talking about something called the circle of trust. Now, this was made popular through a movie a while back. Robert De Niro classically saying, "You're in the circle of trust, Greg." You know, circles of trust usually means that the people that you trust are inside the circle and the people that you don't trust are outside the circle. But today I want us to think about it just a little bit differently. I want us to think about a circle not being inclusive or exclusive, but I want you to think of a circle as something that prolongs and encourages. Okay, a circle of trust that prolongs trust and encourages trust and then prolongs it again and encourages. So an almost a never-ending circle of trust. You know, people in our church choose to trust. Trust is not passive. Trust is either something you do or you do not do. You know, think of a trust fall, you know. If you're going to fall and you're going to trust, you're having to choose to do that. It is not a passive thing. So trust is not passive. Okay, so there are people in our community, in our church here, across our state, in our country, across the world, who are choosing to trust God with their needs. They're choosing that. People who've given their lives to Jesus, they've been baptized, they have this Holy Spirit, they still, though, struggle to survive. And I always wondered, how is this possible? You know, Paul says in Philippians 4:19, he says this, "And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Paul was confident in that God's going to meet every need of ours. Now, when I was young, I could imagine God kind of making food and clothes appear on people's doorsteps, you know, the ones who really prayed for it. God meets basic needs, but he also does more than that. Whenever I was in college, I had just left a university and I was transferring because For some reason, I wanted to go somewhere else, my major. And what I found was that I owed a lot of money, and it was difficult for me to get into the next college. And I remember this clearly as day. I prayed, God, help me with this, because there's a lot of money that I owe, and it's going to be difficult for me to make it to this next university. Now, granted, this is not a basic need, right? But I prayed, and I trusted God was going to take care of that. I remember this, and I remember walking into that admin office. And this is amazing story. I walked in and I went up to the lady, the cashier, and I said, okay, I've got issues. I need to pay for this money. Right at that moment, in the very back hall was the president of the university walking through with a folder. And he looked at the folder and he looked at me and he goes, Scott Allen? I said, yeah. He said, come here, I have your folder in my hand. So I walked back there and he told me, he went through this spiel, I'm sorry, we don't have your major anymore, and I know you have to transfer. We'd like you to stay, but I want to do something for you. I want to take care of your bill for you. I said, are you kidding me? That's several thousand dollars. He said, we feel bad. How many times have you heard a president of a university say, I feel bad? I chalk that up to none other than God not only meeting my needs, but making it better. It was an amazing moment for me, and I won't forget it. And that was long, long time ago. God does that. He meets basic needs and then some. And as I've grown, I realized that God doesn't rely on parlor tricks or magic to meet people's needs. He has a much more detailed and beautiful process in mind. You know what that is? It's an amazing system. You ready? This is what it is. You. His system to meet people's needs is the body of Christ. You. Plan A, right here in this room. A group of people who know how to love, who know how to give, who know how to serve. And if God has you to do His will and His work, there's nothing He can't accomplish. I mean, I've seen it in the 2.5 years I've been here. There's nothing in the world that He can't do in this church, in this community, in Nicaragua. And now, in our world today, there are people praying for God to meet their needs. They're praying for that. In Nicaragua, there are families praying for God to meet their basic needs: clean water, food, clothing, shoes. They're praying that God will trust, that they're choosing to trust that God will provide for them. In downtown Dallas, there are people who are praying that God will meet the needs of the people they work with. Many of these homeless people are baptized believers, but somehow they can't manage it. They need. They're praying and they're choosing to trust that God's going to meet their needs. People pray with faith. So how does God do that? How does He meet their needs? Well, He's about to do it through about 300 plus people here today. People who got up this morning with shoes to donate. See, when people pray for God to meet their needs, God doesn't just snap His fingers. No, it's His body starts moving. It's almost as if someone says, God, I need some shoes, and the body of Christ bends over and takes off His shoes and gives it to them. The body of Christ reaches into their pocket and they give. The body of Christ takes off their shirt, their coat, and they give. This is this circle, and as this person is choosing to trust, the body of Christ responds. And because we can give freely, this person can choose to trust another day. He says this to Titus. Titus is having a problem with his group, and he's trying to figure out how to be the preacher and how to work with this group of people in Crete. And Paul says this, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. What you do today is excellent and profitable. And it not only meets a need, but it gives somebody comfort as well. We can let go of our things because of our faith and because we're choosing to trust that God will meet our needs as well. For the people in this church family who need shoes, I want you to remember these will be up here till Wednesday. Come and get them. It's okay. No questions. You need, take. For the people in Nicaragua, it's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to be helping the people in at the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, and we have a video of their preacher talking to us. Let's go and play that really quickly.
I'm Kelly Lawson, minister of the Main Street Church of Christ, and I want to thank all the brethren at Grapevine for all that you do to help us feed and take care of the homeless. I want to especially remember Grant for all the food that he brings and all of you that send socks and clothes and blankets and now shoes for a shoeless Sunday. I really appreciate it. We have someone freeze to death on our parking lot every year, and I want to thank you for the blankets that you raise. A few others other than Grapevine help us with food and clothing and our ministry to the poor and homeless. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And we know that Jesus will bless you for it. Godspeed and God bless you all.
Tell you that there is a mission right down the street. And because of what you do today, we're going to be able to help some of them, some of these people who need it. If you've never experienced a winter in Dallas, well, they're sometimes pretty bitter. And without shoes, even more so. We also get to help Misión Para Cristo in Nicaragua, and I've asked Benny to come on up, and he's going to take 5 minutes or so and tell us a little bit about...
I thought I had seven.
What?
I thought I had seven.
Seven. Seven okay. Minutes. I'm going to sit right here.
It's about, probably 8 years ago, we were honored to receive from the Nicaraguan government the highest civilian citation for our work within the Wasuli prison, which we've been working in since about 1998. But the most interesting part of that honor was something that the commandant of the prison said to us. He said, "You have brought hope to a hopeless situation." And through the years, I've thought more about the different things that we do. There's a picture of children up there who get fed every Saturday in Apenas. I think about Barefoot Sunday. I think about smile boxes. I think last year we distributed just shy of 2 million servings of food from a dehydrated soup mix. I think about our child sponsor program, and I think about the schools we work with. I think about the work on the Rio Coca. And all of it really goes into what Scott talks about creating trust. Galatians 6:10 says, "Do good unto all men." Our opportunity to touch, to serve. You know, a lot of people have words. But words mean nothing to a hungry person. People have good words. But those words mean nothing to a mother that brought a child to a clinic, the clinic 2 weeks ago, or I guess it's a month ago now. A bright, cheery 2-year-old who within 48 hours was a vegetable. 10 days ago, the child passed away. Because see, whenever we feed a child on Saturday, they're going to be hungry on Sunday. We wear these shoes are going to wear out. Everything we do in a physical way is temporary. The next picture. The next picture is trying to create a circle of trust. This is another picture in Apenas. This is the congregation where y'all helped Juan Carlos, the preacher there. This is your congregation, Grapevine. But a circle of trust, and all of a sudden, even in the midst of needs, people are going to come hug. People are going to come touch, because trust is about action. Totally. Action to help, hope to a helpless situation. We can't take care of all the needs. We're not called to take care of all the needs. That's not what God asks of us. But what God does ask of us is to do what we can. Today, it may be for you taking off a pair of shoes. Maybe going home without a coat. But all of a sudden, people know that people care beyond words. Back to the prison, the commandant said, we have a lot of people who want to come and preach to us, but we have very few people who want to come and care about us. And that's what you're doing today. You're putting words into action. To be able to do this last picture, for people to see above the clouds and know there's a cross and there's a kingdom. We said our new name for our child sponsor program, Kingdom Kids. For the kids, for the kingdom. Because everything is temporary in a physical way, but the cross is permanent. That's a picture. Some of you, how many of you have climbed to the cross? That's a picture from the cross. When the valley is covered with fog. And there's a lot in Nicaragua right now. There's a lot of fog, folks. There is a lot of fog. Maybe hunger, maybe health. Whatever the case may be. Maybe someone without shoes. But our goal and our objective, hope the hopeless situation. That we can be a circle of trust. That we can help people look beyond the fog and see the cross. Thank you.
Thanks, Benny. Appreciate it. Thing we were talking about last week, as we're sitting in our office, is that if someone chooses to trust and they pray, and churches like this meet their needs, then they can choose to trust another day. It is something that prolongs this.
Yes.
It's almost like a skill in some moments.
Well, like we said, you know, if there is, you know, you said it when the president of the school came to you and said, is this taken care of? Well, the next time you can trust another day. It is, can trust another day.
That's right.
And give them.
Thank you for what you do, sir. It is a circle, the body of Christ working together throughout the world to help. When someone's need is being met, it gives them the ability and the courage to help meet someone else's need. It is something that prolongs and encourages. It's a domino effect that never ends. So today, we get to do this. We get to exercise a little bit and choose to trust. So in a moment, what we're going to do is Ross is going to come up and sing, and we're going to just call you up by sections. And we're just going to have you come on down. And if you are visiting today and you want to participate, please do. You probably would have a great story to tell. I went to Grapevine, I lost my shoes. But if not, that's okay. You can just watch. That's all right. But our members are choosing to do this, and I encourage you to join us here. We'll organize them on stage, and each of you is asked to give, not under compulsion, but willingly and with a cheerful heart. It's going to be a good day. Let me pray, and then Ross is going to come and sing, and I'll invite you up. Could my helpers come on up on stage? Once you're going to come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We pray that you would pour your Spirit out on us. Lord, we pray that people's needs are met through our actions today. Lord, help us as we choose to trust today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust even more whenever things are even more difficult. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so here we go. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically.
Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And by this love acted out, everyone will know that you are my disciples, the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you have love for one another.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.